We're going to cover the subject of man-to-man today, and hope you get encouragement and help. I heard a good one a few days ago. I'll repeat. Maybe y'all heard it. There's this fellow that went into business, and he just loved his mother, and he started making some money, doing pretty good. And his father passed away, and he built a house for his mom, and he bought a real nice car, and he just was so grateful to his mother for raising him. He's always trying to do something real nice for her, and he was always looking for the perfect gift. Finally found what he thought was a perfect gift for his mom. He bought a couple of birds that were $5,000 each. These birds could talk, and they could sing, and they could dance. And so he shipped them to his mother, you know, and he was so excited. She loved these two birds. Well, he called her up a few days later and said, "Mom, how'd you like the birds?" She said, "They were delicious, son." Said, "Mama, these birds are $5,000 a piece. They could talk, they could sing, they could dance." She said, "Well, one of them should have said something." The guy who gave the talk, he said, I think I need to say something. That's why I gave the story. He needed to talk about his message. So we're talking today about man-to-man ministry. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity today to look into your word. God, we thank you for the potential of the lives represented right here in this room, of the impact that any man here can be used in the life of another and in a whole community and a whole nation. Lord, we know that as the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And God, we just ask that you'll use this time today to encourage each of us. Encourage myself, Lord, in the truth of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Skip Gray talked on this area one time on man-to-man, and his key verse was John 1:14. Take a look at that. John 1:14. This is all about Jesus Christ. You know, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And then verse 14, "And the Word," who is the Word? "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the only one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Life on life is so important. Leroy Ames once said that, you know, when you're following a guy up, you're trying to help somebody spiritually, what do? We give him a cold, leafy book, or give him a shiny, little, hard, noisy little CD. Life on life is so important. The flesh, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Otherwise, we never, never know who God is and how we can live the Christian life. He did life on life. All through life, he touched people's lives. He blessed thousands. He healed many. He trained 12. And he was very close to three. You know, life on life is so important. And that's where we pick up reading the scriptures, how important life on life is. And we'll talk today about why that's important and what things you might want to do with someone to help them grow. What does the Great Commission tell us? You know, it's amazing. I sit down with young guys, I say, let's see what our commander said the last thing before he went to heaven. Matthew 28:18-20, the last three verses of the book of Matthew. You know, the last order the general gives of the orders we're supposed to go by. What are you doing in light of this? What are you doing in light of this? A lot of Christians have never thought about this. We totally missed the Great Commission, maybe called the Great Omission. Okay, so we're reading Matthew 28:18-20, and it says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me," that's Jesus, "go therefore and make disciples of all nations." And that's the operative word, make disciples. And attached to that is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. So there's our mission and there's the empowerment. It comes through Jesus Christ. And we need to be carrying out that Great Commission. And I think that's probably why you're here today, because you know we need to help people know Christ and we need to help people grow. That's what our objective is as a Christian. Biblical examples. A guy came to Dawson Trobman one time. He was really proud of himself. A young guy, he led a lot of people to Christ. And so Dawson said, "Okay, let's talk about these people you led to Christ." And that's a wonderful thing. Not many evangelists out there today. Not many personal evangelists who are leading people to the Lord. We need to see more of that. I used to see more of that 20 years ago than I'm seeing now. We need to be sharing the gospel and seeing people come to the Lord. He said, well, what are you doing with these guys when you lead them to Christ? Well, I'll share Philippians 1:6 with them. Philippians 1:6, turn there with me to Philippians 1, if you would. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident is the very thing. He who began a good work in you, God, will carry it on to completion till the day of Christ. So I just give them this verse and say, God bless you. Well, Dawson took him to the pastor and said, well, look at this. Verse 3, I thank God every time I remember you. In other words, I'm praying for you, right? Verse 3, Philippians 1:3. Philippians 1:4, in my prayers for you, I pray with joy. Verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel. You take the guy with you. You're with this person. And they see you model that Christian life. Verse 7, I feel this way about you. You're in my heart. You know, if somebody's in your heart, you just don't send them a letter every once in a while. You spend time with them, right? Verse 8, and God can testify how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. So that's a lot of one-on-one, a lot of small groups together, do things together. And then Acts chapter 20, Paul's last chance to visit with his friends at the church of Ephesus. Some of the men came out to the seaport when he was headed to Rome and spent a little time with him. Acts chapter 20, and he prayed with them, and one of the main things he prayed is verse 32, and he talks about commending them to the Word. Stay in the Word, guys. I commend you to God and the Word of God, which can build you up and give you inheritance among all those that are sanctified. And then also, see verse 25. He just didn't say, read the Bible. What does verse 25 say?
Now, because I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will see my face no more.
Yeah, he says, I'm not going to see anymore. Remember, you guys were so, I was with you preaching and teaching everywhere I went. Verse 27. I've not hesitated to proclaim the whole will of God. Boy, you're going to spend some time telling somebody the whole will of God. You're going to be taking quite a few days, weeks, months, years with them. And verse 31, be on the guard. Remember, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you each day, each night with tears, each day and night. So, boy, you're with that person. You know, your friends, you vacation together, take them, find out what they're interested in, do that with them. I've got a friend, he's a basketball coach, and I want to encourage him spiritually. What do I do? Well, I ask him, how's the basketball team going? I call him on the phone. Man, I need to go watch a game or two. And be with him on that, you know. And that, it's just important to be with people. I call this workshop, another time I taught this workshop, I call it 1 hour a week that changes the world. 1 hour a week that changes the world. If you're busy, 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 that's fine. You can still make a disciple. You can build in people's lives one at a time. Think about something you do every day. Everybody eats lunch, don't they? Pretty much very few people miss lunch. Very few people miss breakfast or supper. But you're out there and at work, you can meet somebody who lives across town for lunch once a week. Have a friend named Mark Dorsett down in Florida. And Mark was a guy that really knew how to make disciples. He was quite an evangelist, a personal evangelist, led a lot of people to the Lord over the years. I've known Mark now for over 30 years. About 10 years ago, it occurred to me Mark was in school on the East Coast, and he was going to get a master's and worked on that a while. He got one, and he got another one. He was trying to get his doctorate. And the university he went to said, one day they kicked him out. They said, we just can't have somebody that believes like you receive a degree from our university. He was very conservative and biblical in his thinking. Anyway, they ended up in a terrific job. He's one of the happiest guys I've ever known. God's given him a job, and the people at work love him. Everyone enjoys being around him, and he ministers to them. I called him up and said, Mark, you know how to make disciples. I know you've been really busy and distracted, moving different cities the last few years, but you can at least have lunch with one guy a week. Man, he took me up on it. Got a little guy named EJ. This guy had come out of the Army, and he was a realtor. He started meeting with EJ, and he got EJ memorizing the topical memory system. EJ just took off like a rocket. And he's now getting guys, taking them through scripture memory, which isn't the easiest thing in the world to do, is it? Not the easiest thing. He's having quiet times with people and teaching people how to memorize verses. And he's got another guy that's in the pockets doing the same thing. And EJ's out doing what he was doing and more, you know. So he's kind of reproducing in the sphere of influence. So this is always a phone call. When they just put the bug in his ear, hey, you could be doing this no matter how busy you are. Years ago, Our friend Sam Starkey here was in the same town I was living in, Enid, Oklahoma. I never met Sam. Sam was a believer, but he was busy. He got married, and his wife was working, and he wasn't probably really walking close to the Lord at the time. I don't know. I'm just guessing. We had Bible studies. Never met Sam, but Mark, this very guy, Mark Dorsett, had a student. It was Sam. Taught him to fly a T-38 jet. Years later, we all got back together, and now we're close friends. Sam and his wife help us quite a bit in our ministry in town. But anyway, Sam got to England, and a guy named Mark Stoda got hold of him and helped him spiritually. And just, I thought I'd get Sam to come share just two or three things that Mark did in his life and modeled for him and how he helped him spiritually, just to give you an idea of what can happen. You know, Mark Dorsett was a gadget guy. He loved to modify everything. He loved all these zippers. He had something in every pocket.
So you get used to having all these pockets. You can't get away from it. As Jack said, I was a believer. I went to pilot training at Vance Air Force Base, and Mark Dorsett was there. And I knew that Mark was a Christian, and he was very careful not to use his position there in the military to recruit guys to be involved with the navigators. But I knew he was a Christian. He and another guy, Mike Gleichman, were in the same flight. Those guys were markedly different than the other people that I was around. I wound up getting stationed at Auchinbury RAF base over in England. I was flying the F-4 Phantom at the time, and a friend of mine from there at work said, I've got a guy that you need to meet. And he took me to meet Mark Stoda. He just asked me to meet with Mark, and Mark met with me. The first time that we got together one-on-one was to play basketball at the base gym. He said, hey, let's just come over and let's play some basketball. Mark says, I played some basketball. So I was a college basketball player, and so that for me was just an opportunity to get together and do something. But Mark and I met there, and the whole purpose of the meeting, I thought he just wanted to get together and play hoops. But he was trying to do a little recruiting, and I got to like him right away. The first thing that impressed me about Mark was his biblical knowledge. The guy was... he was well-studied, and he was the kind of guy I wanted to be. I looked up to him. What he had done is left the active-duty military and become a full-time nav rep and had moved to England for the purpose of doing navigator ministry. And the first time that we sat down to talk about the Bible, I was really surprised at his level of knowledge and his commitment to the Scriptures. I thought of 2 Timothy 2:15 because it was one of the first verses that he gave to me, but he said, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. And Mark was one of those people. He was an Air Force Academy graduate. He was an instructor pilot at Vance Air Force Base, actually went to pilot training at Williams. And he was an instructor pilot in the F-4 before he left the Air Force, and I thought, wow, this is the guy I want to be. He's very successful in the military, then chose a life of ministry. So I was impressed with his knowledge, and I wanted to know how he did that, because I'd grown up in the church but was not very, I wasn't really following God. It was just kind of one of those things I did. I kind of practiced being a Christian, called myself a believer, and I had a conversion experience when I was 14 years old, but just not very committed to the church. When I went to pilot training, I think that's what Mark and Mike Gleichman recognized. But Mark Stoda built a relationship with me. He was well-trained, and the first thing he did was build a relationship with me. Like I said, it was the hoops thing. There were other things that we had common interests, but he and his wife would invite my wife and I to go do things together. The Bible study, yeah, it happened, but I was learning a lot in the Bible study, and I wanted to be, I got with Mark, and I was like, well, how do I get this life that I have more on track with God and commit more time to God? And he, through that building relationship with he and my wife, he started showing me how to have a quiet time and how to memorize verses. And one of the things that Jack and I have done just this last couple weeks is use the Beginning with Christ verse pack. Now, he knew I wasn't beginning with Christ. He didn't say, oh, I know you're a brand new Christian. He didn't say that. He said, here are some verses that you need, and he went through that with me, and I memorized all five of those verses in a week because I was just, for some reason, I became a voracious Bible reader and a memorizer because that's what he was teaching me to do. And he taught me to do a quiet time. But we spent time together doing other things. We went get on the train and go down to London and just walk around the town and go eat pizza or some, try to find some place where they served American food instead of bangers and beans or steak and kidney pie. We did those things together. And he was always available. Those were the three things that I noticed about him, was that he was very knowledgeable, that he took time to build a relationship with me, and no matter what happened, if my wife and I would get bored on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon, he had four children, all of them 6 years old or younger, and we would just show up at their house, and they were always, oh, come on in, yeah, we were just doing this, why don't you guys hang out with us? And it didn't have to be some sort of spiritual thing, it didn't have to be a group that we got together with. But he sat me down one day, and he gave a standard Navigator's verse, which I didn't know at the time. But he said, I think this is a verse that's important for you. And he said, in the things you have heard me say, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. And that's 2 Timothy 2:2. And what he was telling me was that he thought I was a reliable man. He was telling me that he wanted me to be one of those guys that went and did what he does. I took that as a tremendous compliment. The fact that he would take the time to spend time with me and that he thought that I could do that. That I could do what he was doing. I would just like to say this. I know that we talk a lot about how we're going to spread the gospel, but the time that Mark invested in me wasn't in trying to convince me that Jesus Christ was the Son of God or that I needed him for salvation, but it was to build into my life to be a disciple. And Mark will never know how many people have heard the gospel because of the time that he spent with me. I mean, he will eventually when we get together in heaven, but I would just like to encourage you that the time that you spend with others is very important, one-on-one. And it can be anything. For me, you know, people fall into three categories. They're either an older, more mature Christian that can teach me. They're somebody who is a Christian that's not quite as far along in their walk as I am that might need some help. Or they're somebody who needs to know the gospel. But everyone you meet is one of those three people. And every one of them can help you with your walk with the Lord. So I would like to encourage you not just to worry about finding folks that don't know the gospel and trying to get them to understand who Christ is, but take your time with people who do that need your help, because Mark changed my life.
If I can copy this and send it to Mark, maybe he'll be encouraged. He might be going through a low spot or something. Never know. Mark, I teach at Arizona State. How I got tenured, I don't know. We had him come out and speak at a deal one time, and he and his wife came out to visit with Sam and Sherry and with us, and we had a wonderful time together. And while he was visiting us, we thought we need to give him some for speaking. And we found one of these little crosses, you know, it was on this little plaque. It had a stone cross on my card, and it had the state of Texas on it. Well, he took it back to Arizona State in his office at the university. And somehow Arizona State was playing Texas in basketball or something and got stomped. And the students all walked out, what's that on the wall for? And they were really upset. What do you have that Texas thing here for? You never know the impact you can have of what you do. Anyway, page two. Yes, question. Yeah, okay.
I was deciding my future seminar.
Yeah.
And I didn't invite him to come up here. I could kick myself for not doing that. I just fixed him. So if you didn't trust him up here, I'll pay you away.
Uh-huh.
So I was just praying
that he'll come. Yeah. Let me pray right now. Let's do it. Okay, Lord, we thank you for this guy, Josh. Lord, we think about the potential of his life. We think about the fact he's marrying our friend's daughter, how he needs to be a godly man and walk with you. And Lord, I pray you just open many doors to get Josh here and help him to connect with people and the Word of God and with yourself, Father. We pray and ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Good request. Share the word. Point five, what to cover with people. Every time you get together with somebody, be sure you share the word. There are three things we can do. We can teach, we can pray, we can model. We can't change people. We can sure teach, we can sure pray, and we can sure model it. And if every time you meet with a guy, you at least open up your Bible and say, man, I found Jeremiah 15:16 the other day. Let's look at this for a minute. You could be getting together and you're meeting some relational felt needs, and he's distracted, his wife's in the hospital or something like that, but always share the word. Now, this is really good for us because it makes us get in the word ourselves. You've got to have something to share, right? And when you have your quiet time today, when you meet with somebody, say, God, give me something really neat here. Or if you don't, give me something that will help him. One thing you want to be sure you do, even if you just have a moment, you're driving somebody to the clinic with your man, your man-to-man time, you got distracted, share somehow the word with them. Be sure you pray with them. Maybe if you have only a minute or two, to pray with them. I heard a guy, a famous Bible teacher, say that he was on staff with Campus Crusade for years, and that he would only have about 20 minutes man-to-man. But he said, we'd spend about half the time in the Word and prayer. I thought, half the time in the Word and prayer in 20 minutes? But it can be done. You know, the older I get, the more I see how you can do that thing. Be sure you pray. Be sure you share the Word. And, you know, one activity you can do that will change lives better than anything in the world is Scripture memory. You just can't get around that. And I'm not real good at memorizing Scripture. The guy led me to Christ. He gave me the little beginning of Christ pack. It wasn't quite this fancy, and I think it actually was a wimpy one. It only had four verses instead of five. But I had this in my pocket for a year, and I wouldn't memorize until God put me through some things in my life, and I was miserable. Now, I wasn't walking with God, but I just couldn't seem to memorize verses. So, boy, I laid out verses on the floor, and I did push-ups over them. Just got memorizing, you know, got started. And it started changing my life, you know, and I wasn't walking closely with the Lord at the moment. I was only a six-month-old Christian, and I started memorizing verses, and it felt good, but I didn't. But it made me miserable, you know, because I wasn't obeying it. But it was a good thing. I was memorizing Scripture. So you get somebody to help them. We started out with the Beginning Christ Pack, and I've got a few of these if you'd like to pick up one. You can get your Christian bookstore to order them. You can call NAB Press and get them. But what you tell people, you say there are five verses. If you never memorize any other Scripture in your whole life, these are the five verses you need, the five assurances. Every Christian needs these five assurances. They reach out, don't let them have it. You know, it's gold. And you tell them about it, and you sit down and you read the first several pages with them and then help them memorize that first verse. And you tell people, if somebody's been a Christian a while, they're kind of proud, you're going to help somebody. You're going to need to help people. Here's how you can help someone. You know, you do it third person. You know, you get them memorizing just so they can help somebody else, where they're the ones that are going to get helped mainly. I have a friend in town who helps run our dining hall out here, Mark Inman. You know, some of y'all know Mark. Mark did a wonderful thing. There was a really godly physician in our town that was quite an athlete, and he was quite a Bible teacher, and he played football in college, and some boys in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes led him to Christ, and he came from a real non-Christian family. It was just an amazing story how God used this guy. He passed away with lymphoma about 10 years ago, but boy, did he have an impact. Y'all heard of that Hotter Than Hell bicycle race they have here? 14,000 people show up every year from all over the country, and it's the largest sanctioned race in America or in the world or something like that. It's kind of crazy. They pick the hottest day of the year to do it, and you get the T-shirt, you know. I'd use it ride 25 miles and get the same T-shirt, you know. So Mark Inman likes to ride bicycles. And Jerry, Mark's pretty athletic, but Jerry is really athletic. So he told Jerry, Jerry, I got something we can do. I'll work out with you. Let's go ride 5 days a week, and we'll do some Scripture memory. And Jerry, well, you know, I memorize a lot of stuff being a doctor, you know. So Mark had Jerry memorize the topical memories of 60 verses. It took a year or two. They would be riding. And what Jerry didn't know is that Mark pretended he was learning them along with Jerry. Mark already knew them. For 2 years, Jerry had no idea. Mark had these verses all memorized. But Mark would just kind of fake it, you know, and encourage Jerry. You know, he didn't want to make Jerry feel like he was just so knowledgeable, right? Tricked Jerry into memorizing those verses. And then Jerry just unleashed on lots of people. Had quite an impact. But Scripture memory is something that a lot of people in a lot of churches, a lot of Christian people meet one-on-one. But there's one, they'll pray, they'll do the word, but they won't memorize. Man, you got at least review. If you don't want to memorize, at least review the ones you got. Life-changing. So under part B here, felt needs, we got two areas, felt needs and foundational needs. When you meet with somebody, if you're strictly academic, okay, you open the Bible, you read the Bible, we're going to pray, you know, just do all academic stuff. man, this guy's wife could be wanting to go see the divorce lawyer, you know, and if he's got problems, man, you need to talk about those problems. Felt needs and foundational needs. We need both. You know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. People are going through problems. People have got ideas. We need to talk with them. Let them talk and tell you what's going on. So you want to be half of your time you need to be relational, and half you want to work on content. So you understand that? If a guy's got, find out, how are you doing today? What's going on this week? How are your kids doing? You know, get into that. You got a question?
Right, I don't need to cut you off. When you say relational, do you mean
work on your relationship, get in the car and go to get your wives together and y'all go out to dinner, you know, or whatever. Go fishing with him, go hunting with him, you know.
I didn't want to make sure I did that.
Yes, very good. Do something personally in their interest field or your interest field. You know, y'all probably heard, I'm from Virginia, and most of the Civil War happened around my house. You know, I ride the school bus to see trenches that were 130 years old, you know, from the Civil War. I get a bunch of guys, we go to Virginia and go see some battlefields and introduce some of my preacher friends, you know, that lay on them. And we have a great time. Just use that as a fun thing, fun activity. And it's amazing how much ministry you get done on the way, going, coming, and sharing the gospel with people. Felt needs and then foundational needs, number two. So what do you want to help the guy in? Quiet time. Be sure and sit and have a quiet time with a guy. You know, you're having lunch, say, hey, this is what I do in the morning. Let's talk about this. Get your Bibles open, and today you're going to be in a prayer group three times at the conference. Do that kind of thing with them, a quiet time with them. Things you'll be picking up here you can use in your one-on-one with people. You want to share the wheel, the navigator wheel. You know what that is? Christ the center, he's the hub. The rim of the wheel, that's obedience to Christ. Romans 12, 1 and 2. The Word, the foundational spoke is the Word, prayer, fellowship, witnessing. You want to draw the wheel out for people. Jim Downing, we picked him up at the airport last night. Jim's 99 and a half. Y'all say hello to him. He's talking about Doug Coe. He used to be a navigator about 50, 60 years ago. Doug Coe is a guy that's kind of behind the National Prayer Breakfast for the last half a century. He disciples country leaders and congressmen. Jim Downing said he was in Washington, D.C. Doug Coe's probably about 90. He was in D.C., and Doug Coe found out he was there and came to see him. And he brought a young disciple with him. He sat down and he went through the wheel in front of Jim Downing with this young disciple. Doug Coe's 90 years old, still going through the wheel with people. He drew out Dawson Trotman's Big Dipper illustration. Most of us don't know that illustration about reaching the world. It's pretty good. And he says, Doug's always sure the navigators aren't doing what Dawson did. He's trying to preach Dawson's stuff to people. What an amazing thing. So the wheel is so important. Teach people how to get into the Word, you know, how to hear, read, study, memorize, meditate the Word of God. Teach them how to pray by doing it. Keep it simple. Don't blow somebody away. Don't pray paragraphs. Just start real simple with a guy so he can feel comfortable. Teach him how to share his faith. If you aren't good at evangelism, personal evangelism, find somebody that is. Y'all go to lunch and get the guy to draw the gospel out. How do you share your faith? Tell me and Jim how you do it. Learn how to do evangelism. And then start them helping other people. Start them helping other people. Who are you going to share this with? Who are you going to share this with? You know, what you learned today. You teach them the wheel, say, now next this week you go out and share with somebody and come back and tell me how it went. My wife, she disciples girls. She tries to teach girls to go through this little gospel illustration. It's kind of like the bridge. It's a bridge, but it's really good. We had a girl live in our home for half a year, and she said, now, by next week, you got to share this with somebody. Share with a Christian if you want to, but share this little booklet and then tell us how it went. I wake up one morning, and I'm getting breakfast, and Carolyn's asleep. She was sleeping late that day. She didn't get much sleep the night before. And Tori, our friend, she's getting breakfast, too, and she starts batting her eyes. I said, Jack, I need you to help me with something. I need you to help me. I go, okay, what can I do for you? You got about 5 minutes? Well, actually, yeah. Can you meet me in about 5 minutes out here in the kitchen? I was the guinea pig, you know. I said, sure, Tori, share it with me here. Carrying out her assignment. Give them an assignment, see. Good stuff. She did a good job, very convincing. Okay, number six, help one man a year. Now, this is, just throw it out there, one man a year. You may be with somebody several years. maybe 6 months and they get transferred and you get to pick up somebody else. But what's your potential after 39 years or so of doing this, helping one person a year? What's the potential of that? And you're still challenging them, you know, write them a note every once in a while. By the way, you got somebody down there in Decatur, Georgia. You got somebody you're working with. Got somebody out at Fort Hood that you're helping. You can help one person. You can help one person, you know. Keep challenging people to do that. This is probably the most important part of the workshop. It's the most intensive part and the most important information you're going to get here on page 3. Number 7, 4 main keys to man-to-man. 4 main keys to man-to-man. This will be hard to remember, so write this down. Number 1 is prayer. Write down prayer. I'll write down 2. And number 2 is prayer. And number 3 is prayer. This is tricky. Number 4 is the word. Use the word. Okay, pray for the person you're helping. Recruit people to pray for the person you're helping. You know, prayer, 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 and the word. You can't beat that. 4 things that you can do. Don't forget to pray. Be careful to pray for the person you're helping. Pray for the areas of their life. When I meet with a guy, almost every time I say, what can we be praying for you this week? I put it in my little diary. I write down 2 or 3 things that he wants me to pray about. Then, very helpful, next week, say, how's it going? I'm praying this and this and this for you. Guy that really had an impact on my life, he was a discipler in a small town back in Virginia. And my military career was cut way short. I thought, God, what are you doing? I'm with all these wonderful Christians and you're sending me home. And I go back to my hometown. There's a man who was trained and equipped, ready to help me. I was walking down the street one day and he ran into me. He said, hey, I hear that you came to know Christ this year. I don't know how he knew. I wasn't telling anybody yet. I was so weak, you know. I said, yes, sir. How'd you? He said, by the way, I'm doing Navigator Book 2, Lesson 3 in your friend's James Christensen's house on Monday night at 7:30. Be there. I thought, how do you know? They left me off in Navigator Book 2, Lesson 2 out in Colorado 6 weeks ago. You know, and I knew I had to be there or God was going to get me, man. I thought, this is a miracle. Showed up at this Bible study and my friend Mason, he would take us through just a few questions at a time in good old Navigator Book 2. It looks like this. This is 1, and the 2 is the same color just about. We were doing lesson 3. Man, it was something. And Mason would use the word in a way. He'd say, okay, James, Monday morning on the job, how do you apply this verse? And he'd say, he'd ask us, always ask us a question during the Bible study. We'd all give our silly answers. You know, we'd try. And he'd say, look at Ephesians 5:3. And we look at the verse. There was the answer in the word. He was a master. Really challenged me to grow. I started meeting with him man to man, and I could take verses of the Bible that he just would sit down and impress on me. Jeremiah 15:16. Just impress a verse of scripture on me. I've never forgotten. I've repeated that many, many times with many people, the things that he taught me. I got back into college and I told him I was going off to this college, and he said, you know, that college is really, really way left. Your professors there don't hate God and they're very atheistic. And I go, really? I didn't even know that. I didn't care. I just want to get an education, I thought. And he said, you might get over that college. There may be no Christians on campus. I thought, that's crazy. Campus, about 800 kids. I found 5 identifiable believers over a period of the next year. And they were all really defeated. Nobody was walking with God at all. There wasn't even one Bible study on campus. So Mason's preparing me to go. He says, this is a principle man-to-man, you know. He says, Jack, it doesn't make a difference if any Christians there or not. He says, you're the only guy on that campus that knows what God can do on a campus for Christ. You're the only guy that knows. Because you back there where you were in Colorado, you saw guys have quiet time. You saw them read the Word. You saw them memorize verses. You saw them witness. And you know you can do that. You know how to do that. Well, I thought, heck, I'm going to go get a business degree. I'll send a check to God every once in a while. Man, the day I got on that campus, my heart just burned. There's no Bible study. These people are a bunch of, they invited the God is dead man to come speak on my campus. Back in the 60s, y'all might not remember this. It's way before you were born, probably. Back in the 60s, there was this guy that was famous going around America. And he gave this wonderful lecture called God is Dead. and they paid him thousands of dollars to do it. Haven't heard of the guy since. He disappeared, but if he was probably the man of the year on Time magazine, I wouldn't have been surprised. Boy, everybody thought he was wonderful. Stupidest talk you ever heard in your life, didn't make a bit of sense. They paid him a lot of money, but that was my call to the ministry. I went back to my dorm room. I said, God, if they paid this guy to come to this campus and say that garbage I heard last hour, you need help. Who's going to reach this campus? God says, you're the man, you know. I found a guy that really loved God and was hungry. I'd sit down with him and try to share the wheel. He said, give me that notebook. Copy everything down. I'd start trying to share a little bit about quiet time. Give me that notebook. And he'd write it down. He'd go practice it. So before long, we figured the key to reaching the campus was not trying to get the professors to change. We never saw that happen. They were setting the wool. Jim came with the idea, let's reach freshmen before the professors get them. And we led a bunch of freshmen to Christ. Well, next year they were sophomores. And they started leading, by the time they were juniors and seniors, they were highly respected on campus. They were really having an impact. So we had a lot of fun. Just amazing things God did. It all came out of that man-to-man, that my friend Mason just mentoring me and getting me going in the right direction. Okay, we'll have questions in a minute. But let me go through some resources, some things you might want to use with people. And everybody needs to have a little collection of these. I order them by the dozen. Beginning with Christ. Everybody needs to memorize these five assurances. Assurance of salvation, 1 John 5:11 and 12. Assurance of answered prayer, John 16:24. 1 Corinthians 10:13. That'll save people out of a lot of trouble. I tell them that's Pike's Peak. When you get over that verse, you can memorize any verse in the Bible. Number three. Number four is assurance of forgiveness, 1 John 1:9. And then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, assurance of guidance. Help people memorize these five. I work with a lot of guys that have been Christians a number of years. They're very intellectual. And I say, you can help somebody and you need to get these down so you can help somebody else. Appeal to their sense of responsibility. Along with this is a wonderful little book called Lessons on Assurance. There are five chapters on these five verses. So I sit down and I go with the guys. The guy's a medical doctor or if he's a farmer, same stuff. We go over this. We go question by question. So everybody needs to have a collection of these. There was an oil man in town that passed away a few years, named Wayne Watts. Some of y'all have heard of Wayne Watts. He had thousands of these things. One day he says, Doc, it's kind of old. I came over to his house and says, I'm giving away some books. You want to have these? Yes, sir, Mr. Watts. Man, I gave them out in no time. That's a big help. This is something, the Navigator series, there are six books called Design for Discipleship. That's the fourth one down here. I'm out of order. Books 1 through 6. This is book 1. Over 5.5 million sold. You meet with a guy, go through this book with them. You know, do a few questions a week, do a chapter a week if they're really quick, really hungry. And work through this book. That's what they'll do with somebody else. They came out with a new series of this. It's more for today. How do you feel about such and such? And I think they changed the obedience to something else in here. I don't know. But Carol and I decided to go back with the classic. These are the Navigator classic ones. You know, Coke Classic. Remember how they tried another kind of Coca-Cola and went back to the real thing? That's what I do. You all seen this box before? Topical Memory System. 60 verses will change your life. In fact, they give you 8 versions. I don't know why they give you so many versions. Guy went up to Glen Eyrie one time several years ago. Remember the old one was kind of a skin color, kind of a flesh color. They were going to throw the old ones out. And a friend of mine was up there and he said, what are you going to do these old ones? Oh, we got about 10,000. We're going to throw them away. He said, if I give a small donation to the Navigators, can I take them home in my truck to Texas? Sure. So he was my supplier for quite a while. But this is the new one, and it costs, about 15 bucks or something like that probably. But you know, people pay for something, whether their treasure is or their heart is. Really often it's a good idea to get somebody to pay you for the Bible book and hand them out. I was raised in a church where they just handed you out materials all the time. So I got around real people that you had to buy Bible study books. I'm like, that's unusual. But you have more of a heart for it if you pay for it, you know. So it's not bad for somebody to pay for the topical memory system. And they can't do it unless you help them. People cannot memorize Scripture unless they get help. So be sure you work with them a verse a week. See if they want to do a verse a week or 2 verses a week. And work through the topical memory system with them. Yes?
How do you encourage somebody?
To memorize?
Yeah. The biggest problems I have is encouraging, because guys don't like to memorize.
Yep.
It's work.
Yep. The way you get people to memorize Scripture is if they're being stubborn about it, you know, and they kind of fumble through the first five verses and they're kind of being pokey. Just be sure every time you meet with them, you have them a dozen verses you know real well. And have them review you. And it changes it. Honestly, just keep on after it and review them on the ones they know. If they don't know it, say, okay, let's go over this one again. They'll finally get the point. And they can memorize. There's a barrier they got to break through. Isn't that true? You ever notice there's just a little barrier you break through and then you're okay? Just get them. John Crawford used to come see me and he'd have cereal box, these little cereal boxes all cut, and he had packs with rubber bands around them, and he'd say, why don't you review me on some of these? And I think he'd pull my leg. He'd fumble through them, you know, like he didn't know them, and it'd make me feel okay. I'm sure he knew them better, and he pretended he did. But I thought, this is important. This is important. So we said, okay, we do beginning with Christ and lessons on assurance. Do something with them. You can't do everything with everybody, but just get going on the material with the person and find out they may outdo you. They may be ordering books and taking people through stuff. They may have more of a heart for God than you do. Pray they will. That's great. Talked about the Design for Discipleship series, the Navigator's Print. They have a topical memory system. I'm going to get people through this. Remember, I open the box and I help them put the verses in the pack. You look at this thing, how do I do this? Get your knife out, cut the box open, you know, and get started on it. Just kind of get this thing open and help them get to memorize the verses. Put the verses in the pack and give them one to start with, you know, just help them out. Be helpful. What else have I got here? Oh, 7 minutes with God. Y'all know this wonderful thing, 7 minutes with God. Everybody got one of these? I've got a bunch. I'm going to hand these out. You sit down and read this with them. You have your copy all marked in and underlined, and so they know it's important, and they'll do that with theirs. 7 minutes with God. Teach people how to have a quiet time with that 7 minutes with God. That's a great tool. And then here's one thing you don't want to do. You're trying to get people Bible-based. And as a Christian, one thing that's really helped us recently, we have a Bible study that's been going for about 41 years here. John Beckenham started it. Meet every Thursday. And we're kind of excited. It's growing. We got about 10, 12, 13, 14 men show up. And we're going through the book of Mark together. And two or three people do the teaching, share the load. And it's just our fishing pool. It used to be we'd come to the Bible study and we'd be upset with what was happening in Washington, D.C. And we would say, man, I'll tell you, that doggone, you believe they said this and they did that. And these guys, rotten people, are ruining our country. It's easy to do that. Curse the darkness, spit in the wind, you know, that sort of thing. Well, there's a guy that came to Christ in our town that's extremely at the other end politically. And his family's a political family, and they have a lot of heritage. And so we all agreed, let's don't talk politics anymore. And it's better. We're happier. You know, all griping brings discouragement. So we don't talk about controversial issues anymore. We don't bring little articles, you know, that are kind of way on the right wing anymore. So here's what you don't do. I got one here I like. I like this a whole lot. It's called A Short History of the Civil War for Yankees. Written by a godly doctor down in Birmingham, Alabama, Dr. Buck, who wrote a lot of Christian books. He's a wonderful man, but you don't want to get people on things that you shouldn't get them on, okay? So I don't hand these out. I'd like to, but just stay off the extraneous stuff. Just keep it centered. Okay, and then on page 4 also here at the bottom, there's some things you can do that will help you be fruitful. Meet and pray with like-hearted disciples. Get together for lunch once a month with one or two men that you know that are doing what you're doing, and just encourage each other. See, who are you working with? Who can we be praying for? You're working with a guy named James? Okay, we'll pray for James. You know, that can be a huge help, to not only to you, but to them. That can be a huge help. And then the last thing, Dave Dawson is a famous navigator, and he's written a discipleship course that's, any discipleship course you've ever taken is 10 times tougher. It's great. In his course, he encourages everybody needs to pray. Pray, I can lead two people to Christ and follow one up. I can lead two people to Christ and follow somebody. God, give me two people to lead to Christ. Give me someone to follow up. You know, you pray that prayer, and God answers prayer. some prayers you pray for your family, and year by year by year, things don't change. Witness to my brother when he was 17, 18 years old, and he prayed the prayer for me, and then went off into agnosticism for decades and decades, and finally about 30 years later he came to Christ and loves Jesus. We have great fellowship now. God just didn't answer that prayer, I didn't think, for a long, long time. But you know, you pray you can lead somebody to the Lord. You pray you can meet with a man to man, somebody that's teachable. God honors that big time. I mean, woo, here it is, man. God says, yes. Just amazing. But don't be discouraged when the first person you probably help may just at a certain point say, hey, I don't want this, or may move. God suddenly moves them to Australia, you know, and there you are. That happens. Just reload and repeat. Usually the second or third person is solid gold. That's just something to keep in mind. God will answer your prayers. May not answer them exactly the way you want, but he will honor that prayer about, I want to lead somebody to Christ, I want to follow somebody up. That's going to happen. We've got a little time here for some questions. Anybody have any questions or thoughts or comments or something I left out you'd like to share? You're number one. Go ahead.
When you're talking to somebody that's not a Christian, you may throw things at you that you don't expect of you. I may not be as knowledgeable as you, so I don't want to say something that I kind of...
Good question. So you're sharing the Christ with somebody, and they throw some questions at you, you don't know how to answer. Well, one thing that's really helpful is to admit you don't know the answer to that. That's really one. People go, oh, good. You know, when you say, I don't know the answer to that, but I'll find it. God will give you somebody that's got the answer to that question for them.
Or if you have time, let's see if we can find the answer right now. Let's see what God has to say about it.
I think sometimes they respect that too.
Oh yeah.
The guy is really searching, and he's really searching, and he said, "Well, I just don't know, but I will get an answer for you." They said, "Oh, okay, you don't know everything, but you're welcome to God." I think you'll probably get more respect usually, not for the kind of problem.
So by admitting you don't know the answer.
So you don't know everything. You're in that place.
That's right. It's a pride issue. I think a lot of reasons I ask people why they don't witness. A lot of them, well, I just don't know a whole lot. Man, you know, the people that lead the most people to Christ do within the first year or two when they know the least. Just they're enthusiastic about Jesus. You think once you knew more, you'd be more fruitful, but not necessarily. Have to depend on God more, I guess. Yeah, question back there.
I heard back from my son-in-law there at the marriage conference this weekend.
Oh, okay. They're at a conference. Well, good. Okay. Yeah, we had a question here.
I'm from there. From there. On page 2, you've got other felt needs.
Oh.
Relation, have content.
Yeah, that's the same idea. There are felt needs and there are foundational needs. That's the same thing as relationship and then content. Yeah, same idea, just a different way to say it. Yeah, people, you have to deal with their felt needs. If they're going through problems, you need to talk about them. Yeah, question.
How do you balance or just be aware of listening and talking? Because discipling can get to be a heavy pursuit, and make sure you're maintaining humility in it. But how do you work through that?
Okay, so your question is?
Making sure the balance between listening to the person
right.
spending time with and when you need to say
that. Yeah. How do we balance not talking too much and listening? Yeah, well, one thing I do sometimes, I write down 4 or 5 questions before I meet with them, make sure I ask questions. And my wife reminds me too, Jack, you got to ask questions. Keep them talk. Come on. Yeah, that's a great problem, I think. You don't want to over-talk people. Somebody back there?
It's more of a statement than a question. It has to do with memorization. Through the years, I've had men that said, I just can't memorize. I just have a mental block I can't memorize, but I'll come back and say, tell me what's your favorite song on the radio.
Yeah.
And they'll go, oh, well, yeah, I can sing that. And I say, you don't have a problem memorizing. You just have a problem being motivated to memorize the right thing. And so which most men can. They can sing their favorite song on the radio. They've got it memorized without even trying. And so it helps motivate them into, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
When you get them thinking that their brain is capable of memorizing, they just might not know it and hadn't engaged it.
Exactly. Yeah, you can trick them. You can say, What's your phone number? What's your address?
Then you got the single verse.
I've got, you know, the one profession I found where people say they can't memorize, doctors, medical doctors. I've had three different medical doctors tell me, I just can't memorize. Okay, let's see.
Jim, I'm really interested to hear how you organize these things. I understand the tools. I'm interested to hear two things. First, how you organize, and second, how you customize that based on the individual person.
Yeah, okay. When you're using tools, following somebody up, how do you organize and how do you customize? Man, God will lead you. I always start with this, beginning with Christ, and then 7 minutes with God. Sometimes the next first two or three times I've gone through this with them, and I just get them to memorize one a week and see if they have more. Sometimes they'll have all five. But then you know, 7 minutes with God, and then you go from there. You just ask God for wisdom, which direction to go. But you try to get them into the Bible study, like the lessons on assurance or the design for discipleship. Yeah. Okay, Jack?
Would you share at certain points in your ministry to a man to man that how the Holy Spirit has led you?
Okay, good question. Good question. Maybe you got a story on how the Holy Spirit works in your man to man.
The illustration comes with Paul, and when he went to meet the elders, it wasn't Paul's church, it was God's church, and they would anoint him and give it up and walk away, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, if you got to rely on God, you know, when you come to an impasse, you say, God, help me figure this out. Maybe call somebody running by him, you know, get an idea how you can help a person. So in my workshop, I was going to talk about stages. You want to do initial follow-up and get people up to speed so they can help somebody else. You want to equip them. Usually God gives me about a year or two with a person, and that's probably what I'm really good at the first few years of the Christian life. Then you can hand them to somebody else maybe, and you got a team of people that are doing discipling. You don't want somebody to be inbred, you know, just get everything from you. You want to spread it out a little bit. That's why conferences are so good. They meet a lot of different people that they can get help from, get ideas from. Yeah. But you got to rely on God. Yeah. Don?
In relation to that, I have recently done the series Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby.
Uh-huh.
And the principle that he uses in there is absolutely life-changing. The principle basically is, you look for where God is working,
mm-hmm.
and that's your invitation to join him in what he is doing. And if he is working there, what do you think your chance of success is? So with the guy, look for where God is motivated, and go with that, and use that, and see how far it takes.
Very good.
How far you go with it.
Yeah. That helped me. Carolyn and I talk about how much Blackaby's principle of going, working with God. You start helping somebody, you think, oh man, this person needs a help. Maybe they really don't want it. After a little while, it just isn't happening. There's somebody else that's a lot more hungry. So Skip Gray works with physicians. He says, "It's you don't want to transfuse a cadaver. It's a bad use of protoplasm." His latest one is that forgiveness is spiritual dialysis. Forgiveness is spiritual dialysis. It takes the poison out of your body, you know. So forgiveness is a really good thing. But yeah, you ask God for help to figure out, you know, who you should be meeting with.
He also says that a lot of us have heard from the pulpit, don't just stand there, do something. Blackaby says, guys, think about that for a minute. Suppose you're doing something where God is not working. Mm-hmm. You're just wasting your time and you're doing it in the flesh. Stand there and look for where God is working.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Okay, comment back there.
Yeah. How do you know when you need to move on? Or how would you know that, hey, I'm not getting anywhere with a guy? How do you know that without I don't want to ever write a man off.
Right, yeah.
Because if I do write another man off, I'm essentially writing myself off. Who am I, you know? But right. How do you know when, okay, he's not going to go further without severing the relationship? I guess you
can
just stay friendly with them.
Mm-hmm.
And
I just want to have an honest discussion with them.
Yeah, and say, well, I'm not above you. I'm no longer here. And I sever that. I mean, he could be frustrated.
So how do you know when you should stop working with somebody?
Right along, but at the same time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. One thing Carolyn does when she meets with somebody, she said, "Let's try it one time, see if you like it." And almost 100% of the time, I say, "Yeah, let's do it again. Let's go for 3 weeks and see how you like that." Yeah. So just step by step. Yeah. Just give people a lot of freedom, and then maybe somebody you're helping and they don't seem to want to say. Have an honest discussion with them. Say, look, maybe next year we can pick back up. You know, let me know. Just give me a call. Make yourself available. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yes?
Yeah, my son would come up and ask all kinds of questions, and you could tell it would just either shut me up or, you know, the drill. And I just said, you know, I said, all you have to do is believe that he's died on the cross of your sins, and he rose from the dead, and he's all in heaven. I said, that's salvation. I said, all you have to do is, all of us are just, when you get to know, when you do that, when you start reading the Bible, then you learn all this stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, very simple. Yeah. Okay, well, one thing before we stop here, we got another few minutes, but I want you to write down a name, the person you are helping, identify who you are helping, and maybe you can share with people here to pray for you as you work with that person. And then write down the name of somebody, or maybe you aren't even helping anybody. Write down the name of somebody that maybe God's speaking to you to help and meet with. It's good to get it down on paper, you know, and then be praying over it and asking God to lead and guide. Just ask God for somebody that can reach thousands. Ask God for somebody that can have a real impact in an area that we'd never be able to reach, you know, maybe in their profession or at their job or their company they work at. Just ask God for that. I took a job for 3 weeks one time just to kind of supplement my income. And I worked in an office of about 20 people. And everybody found out I was a preacher or navigator or whatever. And there was a guy in that office that wasn't a Christian, but he was intensely interested, and absolutely intensely interested in spiritual things. And anything I'd share with him, he would not only take it to heart, but he'd tell other people about it in an excited way. And within about 2 days, everyone in that whole unit knew who I was, and they started coming to me, and this girl said, you know, I got divorced, and can God forgive divorce? I'm a Christian, and I didn't know if God can forgive that. And one girl said, I had a baby out of wedlock. I do know Jesus. I came to Christ because of that. What should I do now? And this guy, the one guy, I can't remember his first name, but he was the guy that was sending people my way, you know, with the spiritual answers. I was there 3 weeks. I ran into him at my son's football game about 6 months later, and he came up and says, guess what? I know Jesus now. And I'm listening to Chuck Swindoll on the radio, and man, I'm literally growing. And I've changed jobs, but two guys in my new job say they're atheists, but they won't be for long. I'm going to get them. See, you never know what's going to happen. You know, the potential is just unbelievable. You never know. Never know. Well, let's pray, okay? God, we praise and thank you for the time we've had today. Lord, thank you for not only these workshops, but coffee breaks and meals where we can meet men that are walking with you. And there's so much we can just pick up almost in an accidental way that's very helpful. I remember my friend Jim Jantz said about this conference, everybody there at that Key Men's wants to know Jesus better and wants to know how to help other people know Jesus and know him better. Boy, what a wonderful thing, Father. Thank you for this opportunity we have today. And Lord, I pray in our time that we have on this earth, we can be sharing the good news and good methods and good materials and good model of Christ-like life to people that will take it to heart and share with others. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.